హవామహే కవిం కవీనామస్తమ బ్రహ్మణా బ్రహ్మణస్పద ఆనశ్వన్నోదసాదనం శ్రీమహాగణాధిపతాశివసమారంభా శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాన్ అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతం వందే గురు పరంపరా. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. మంత్ర ద్వాదశాక్షర మహామంత్ర. భగవాన్ ఇస్ ది వర్డ్. ది చతుర్థీ విభక్తి ఫోర్త్ కేస్ ఇస్ భగవతే. ఎనవర్ నమః కమ్స్ ది ఫోర్త్ కేస్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ సంస్కృత్ గ్రామర్ లైక్ ఓం నమ శివాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. దట్ ఈస్ ది ఫోర్త్ కేస్ భగవాన్. ఫస్ట్ కేస్ భగవతే అంటూ భగవాన్. దట్ ఈస్ ది మీనింగ్. ఫోర్త్ కేస్ మీన్స్ అంటూ. సో భగవాన్ ది వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ భగ, ధనవాన్ ది వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ ధన, గుణవాన్ ది వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ గుణ, భగవాన్ ది వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ భగ. వట్ ఈస్ భగ? యు నో ది వర్డ్ భాగ్య. భాగ్య కేవలం భగ. సో ద వెల్త్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, హూస్ వెల్త్ ఇట్ ఈస్? ఈశ్వరాస్ వెల్త్, నాట్ అవర్ వెల్త్. దిస్ ఇస్ మహాత్మా గాంధీస్ ట్రస్టీషిప్ ప్రిన్సిపల్. యూస్ టు సే యూఆర్ ది ట్రస్టీ ఆఫ్ యువర్ వెల్త్, యూఆర్ నాట్ ది ఓనర్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ వెల్త్. ఓనర్ ఈజ్ ఈశ్వర అండ్ యు ఆర్ ది ట్రస్టీ. సో కీప్ ద ట్రస్ట్ సేఫ్లీ, సేఫ్ కీప్ ఇట్, యూజ్ ఇట్ ప్రాపర్లీ అండ్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూట్ ఇట్ ప్రాపర్లీ. దట్ ఈస్ ది ట్రస్టీ జాబ్. సో ట్రస్టీ షుడ్ నాట్ స్టాప్ ఈటింగ్ ద ట్రస్ట్, యు నో. సో హీ షుడ్ నాట్ ఈట్ ఇట్ ఫర్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. హీ కెన్ టేక్ మెయింటెనెన్స్ ఛార్జెస్, దట్ ఈస్ ఆల్ హీ కెన్ టేక్. అండ్ అదర్ దాన్ దట్ హీ షుడ్ నాట్ టేక్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఈశ్వరాస్ వెల్త్. సో గివ్ అవే టు ఈశ్వర. ఐ అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ ది ఫేస్బుక్, ది వన్ హూ మేడ్ ఫేస్బుక్, హూ క్రియేటెడ్ ఫేస్బుక్, హీ గేవ్ అవే మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ హిజ్ వెల్త్. మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ హీ గాట్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ వెల్త్. ఫేస్బుక్ బ్రింగ్స్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ మనీ అండ్ సో హీ గేవ్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ మనీ బ్యాక్ టు ది చారిటీస్. సో సమ్టైమ్స్ ది చారిటీ ఇట్ సీమ్స్ టు బి గుడ్ ఇన్ అమెరికా. It looks like that. One time in a lecture, in a essay I wrote, he is a very charitable person. I gave 2% of his income to the charity. Like that I wrote. Then one of our friends in New Jersey, Swamiji, don't say very charitable. He just say charitable. I told him, no, he gave 2%. No, here everybody gives 10%. Very interesting. Anyway, so all wealth belongs to Ishvara. You should do charity. But if you say, I am doing charity, and then you become the egoic person, this is a do-gooder. You become the do-gooder. And so that is still not acceptable as a spirituality. You know, you should be a spiritual entity. You should not be a worldly entity. So, Facebook, the gentlemen, they are all wonderful. I am not saying anything about them. But whatever charity we do, we should do it without the sense of doership, not with the sense of ownership. So, it is incidental that I happen to be the medium through whom this money is moving. Like that we have to look at it. Because all wealth belongs to Srihari, Ishvara. He is the Shripati, you know. Shripati, he is the Shripati. So, that is how we have to understand. That is the Bhagyam wealth. And also beauty. All beauty should bring Ishvara to our mind. It is like this. Suppose the postman brings love letter. This is the example given by Swami Ramatirtha. The postman brings a love letter. You may tip the postman, but the love letter is not the letter of love from the postman. He brings the letter of love, but the love is not coming from the postman. The love is coming from the beloved. Postman is only the medium through whom this letter of love is conveyed. Similarly, a flower, a beautiful flower, it is like a postman. The beauty is coming from Ishvara. It is Ishvara's beauty coming through the flower. So, if you say, I am a connoisseur, I love flowers, etc., you are now bound by the samsara, because you are now attached to the samsara. Whereas, if you say, this flower, because of its beauty, reminds me Ishvara, then you are a devotee. That is the difference. Flower is the same. So, you look at the flower and become the one who loves flowers and therefore who collects flowers, who enjoys flowers. That is all samsara. That is all samsara. In fact, you need to spend a lot of money to do all that. And it becomes a rich man's pastime, these flowers. It's a rich man's pastime. And it binds the rich man. It doesn't make him fulfilled or any such thing, because he is constantly searching for more different flowers and all that. Whereas, you need not possess a flower, you need not own a flower, it just remains where it is. You don't even disturb it. But when you look at it, it reminds you of Ishvara. Because all beauty has only one source, that is Ishvara. That is the meaning of Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan, who is the single source of beauty, Sundara, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, and who is the source of Ananda, Satchid Ananda, love, and who is the source of all wealth, Shri, that is Ishvara. And he is the Vasudeva, and my prostrations unto that Vasudeva. So Bhagavate Vasudevaya is the Saguna, Om is the Nirguna, Namaha is the prostration by the devotee unto Ishvara, who is at once the Nirguna as well as the Saguna. The Nirguna manifesting as the Saguna. Om Nirguna manifests as the Saguna, Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and my prostrations unto that Ishvara. That is the mantra. Mantrenanena devasya kuryat dravyamayim buddhaha. Sapariyam vividhair dravyair deshakala vibhagavit. Now you may do puja and archana to Shri Hari using this mantra. Anena mantrena. The puja is, the preliminary puja is dravyamayi. The puja, the worship using the material objects, dravya. The progress is described very soon. So to begin with, this is the Vaidhi Bhakti. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, Bhakti is of two kinds. Vaidhi Bhakti, Raga Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means you follow the rituals. Vidhi is ritual. So you follow the ritual meticulously and collect all the materials required for the ritual, because ritual requires materials. So we have to collect the materials required, whatever, to the extent you can. So like Avahayami, that is one upachara. Upachara means an offering. And then Ratna Simhasanam Samarpayami. So the throne studded with gemstones. Now, where from you get it? Therefore, Akshatas you put. Padayo Padyam Samarpayami. So you keep a vessel with water there. So put a drop of water. Water is easy to collect. Therefore, you have to put a vessel called Kalasha with water. That is the Dravya. Ratna Simhasana you need not collect. So you put some Akshatas. And then Naivedyam Samarpayami for you should not say Naivedya Artham Akshatam Samarpayami. So then you have to take Akshatas as Prasada. Therefore, Naivedya Artham, some item, some fruit or whatever, some simple thing you have to keep there. So this is how you collect. Then puja. If you want to do 108 names puja, you need some flowers. But if you want to do 1000 names puja, you need more flowers. generally people tend to expand. So their enthusiasm is expressed in the materials. So the more materials are collected, more enthusiasm for that. This is all called Vaidhi Bhakti, one level of bhakti. In the initial level it is like that. And when we were children, for Ganesh Puja, etc., the elders used to say, we will do Sahasranama Puja, go and get Patri, means all kinds of leaves you bring. So we now know which leaves are used for Puja and which are not used. There are many leaves around. It was a very green place. So many leaves are there, bushes and all kinds of plants and all that. So don't spoil the plant, collect the leaves and bring. So bilwa leaves, ashwatha leaves, papal, like that. And also we used to bring. And we used to take a bag and bring a bag full of leaves and use them in the puja. That is all we know. We don't know anything more about bhakti. That is the only bhakti we knew. That was the childhood. But you should not end up like that only. You should grow out of Vaidhi Bhakti into Raga Bhakti. That is coming now. But the first stage is Vaidhi Bhakti. In the Vaidhi Bhakti, you need a ritual. You perform a ritual of devotion. So for that, you need a murti, an idol. And so, a murti. So, then offer materials. Like naivedyam, flowers and other things, harati, all those, deepam and all that. So this is how the puja is done. And so, vividhair dravyaih, different materials are employed. Desha kala vibhaga vite. When employing the material, you should understand it in the context of the time and the context of the place. You do puja according to that. Suppose, there is only one bilwa tree and there are not many leaves. Then just pluck one leaf and be satisfied with it. And some people, what they do, they cut the bilwa tree and bring it. They uproot it and bring the entire tree and put before the Purohit. Okay, now you do puja. You pluck the leaves yourself. I have seen people doing it. A big branch of the tree is broken and it is brought. We should not do like that. Desha, kala. Even flowers, in India there is a movement, in Bombay, etc., the Society for Protection of Environment and all that, is environment protection people. So they are saying that you are using so many flowers for two occasions. One is the politicians and the other is the temple people. They consume tons of flowers. And the politicians come, malas, the garlands, the garlanding of the politicians, big, big garlands, gajamala, that is what they call. The mala weighs a ton, or maybe 100 kg, whatever. Big, big malas, this thick malas. Two people carry it and put him in his neck. He cannot leave it there. He cannot bear with it. He cannot carry that weight. So put like that, two people hold it, and then once the photos are clicked, then they take it away, and then throw aside. So this way, you are consuming so many flowers, it is destroying the environment, because the business people, they go and collect flowers everywhere and bring it, and you are spoiling the environment. That is what the environment people are saying. And then in puja, they do lots of flowers. So what is lacking in the devotion, they make it up with the material objects. So it should not be like that. Deshakala vibhagavit. The place and the time and the appropriateness should be maintained. And therefore the materials must be collected in a proper way, in proper quantities and should be used. This is the puja. Then water can be used. Salilai shuchibhimalyaihi vanyair molaphaladibhihi. Shastankuram shukaischatche tulasya priyaya prabhum. So, you can do abhisheka with water. Some water you can employ. And then you can offer flowers. Malyaihi vanyaihi. The flowers which are prevalent in the forest or in the woods. those flowers you can collect and offer to Ishvara. Then you can do naivedyam. The naivedyam could be mula and phala. Mula means roots. Phala means fruits. At one time they used to eat mula and phala. Kanda, mula, phala. Kanda is like a aloo, like potato, etc. They are the kanda, which are grown under the ground, and they grow to big size. The sweet potato, etc. And then even onion grows like that. That is also kanda. And then mula. Mula is roots. Some roots are edible. Very nice roots, they can be enjoyed. And then phala, fruits. Adi, some cooked items. So these are all offered to Ishvara as a naivedyam. Then even the leaves can be offered for puja. Some leaves, ankura. And some clothes can be offered to Ishvara. Some nice clothes can be offered. Vastram samarpayami. Suppose clothes are not easily available, then you can offer vastrartham akshadan samarpayami. That substitute is always there. But vastra also can be offered. Then among the leaves, tulasi is very, very useful for worshipping Srihari. Therefore, tulasya priyaya prabham. So with the tulasi leaves, asimam, tulasi is asimam, some botanical name is there. With that, you can worship. Labdhva dravyamayi marcham. Now, you get hold of an idol. Dravyamayim archam. Archa means vigraham. Means a murti, an idol. You get hold of it. Made of dravya. Some substance. It could be made of clay. Dravya. Or it could be made of some wood. Like that. Again, there are varieties in it. So, the temple architecture and temple rules and regulations are there. Or it could be made of metal, appropriate metal. Panchaloha. An alloy of five metals. So one such murti you can have. Or there is an alternative. Va. Kshityam yadushu. Kshityam vadishu varchayet. You can get hold of an idol. Or you can dispense with an idol. There is an alternate way of doing it. That is Pruthivi. So it is like, take some clay. Like Ganesha Chaturthi, they do like that. They take some clay. And make some rudimentary form of Ganesha. In fact, there will be a small mold, a wooden mold. So put this wet clay on the mold and take it out. So you will get some rudimentary shape of Ganesha. It need not be very vivid in full detail, etc. It need not be an art and all that. And then you do puja. Avahanam you do. So you invoke Ganesha in that small murti. It is not very vivid murti, made of clay, then and there. Even Rudrabhishekam also is done like that. You make a linga with prithivi, with clay. It is called Parthiva linga. And then put it there and do Abhishekam or do puja. And then once the puja is over, put it back into the waters. Avahana visarjana. So, with prithivi. Or, simply, you can worship Ishvara in water. Put a kalasham there. Kalasha puja. Kalasham is the altar. That is Ishvara. Now you do puja to the kalasham. They put the kalasham and put a coconut over that and do puja. So, that way also it can be done. This is the first level of Vaidhi Bhakti. Then, slowly you have to move forward. Abhrutatma munishyantaha yatavak mitavanyabhuk. So, you have to have a perfect command over the mind and the body. The body-mind must be kept in one's own command. Abhrutatma. Then munihi. You should be a contemplative person. You should contemplate upon Ishvara. Or there is a thing called Atmanishtha. So, abidance in one's own self. So, you abide in yourself. In meditation, we do all these things. You should know it and start doing meditation. So, that is the munihi. then shantaha. You should see that your mind remains quiet. Mind should not be very agitated. So that is in our hands. Generally people complain that our mind is very agitated. So why it is agitated? You tell me why it is agitated. Yeah, because my wife is not cooperating with me. That's why mind is agitated. That means what? There is a conflict going on because of which the mind is agitated. So now, are you contributing to the conflict or not? Suppose you are contributing to the conflict. Then you create the conflict because of which the mind is now agitated. And then you want a solution to the agitation of the mind. This is working at cross purposes, you know. You are contradicting yourself. So don't create conflict. So a friend asked me how not to create conflict. I gave him a small piece of advice. When you are wrong, you apologize to your wife. Okay, when I am right, what should I do? You shut up. This is the advice I gave. I'll see how it works for you. Probably it should work well. You don't, now there is no conflict. So, you see, what do you want? So, no, how can I that be? That is ego. You want the ego to remain intact? Or you want peace, shanti? What is the thing? If you want peace, you deserve peace. No, shanti can wait. I have to prevail. Then, okay, go ahead. You create conflict and then be agitated. So, don't complain again. So, if you want peace, deserve peace. Shantaha. So, Munihi Shantaha. Just one example. So, no conflict. Why should you create a conflict? Don't create conflict. We should not create conflict. The other person creates, then what to do? The other person cannot create you unless you contribute. We have a rule. When there is a conflict, kalahaha, if both are vivekis, both are spiritual entities, there will be no conflict. Suppose if one of them is a spiritual entity, the other is a worldly entity, then also there is no conflict. There is conflict only when both are worldly entities. So, that is the rule. And therefore, don't create conflict. Be at peace. Discover the peace within and then look around. There will be peace everywhere. People complain that there is no peace in the world. I say there is the greatest peace in this world. I always say that. So, in 2000 they have calculated, this is my own information I got from New York Times. So recently they made statistics, they calculate details, you know, they collect figures and all that. 2008 has minimum number of deaths due to religious conflicts in the entire world, in the entire history of mankind. 2008. This is the fact. But thanks to CNN, ABC, Fox, etc., We are led to believe that the world is on fire. Terrorism. Where is terrorism? Where is it? After 9/11, where is terrorism in America? No, we have prevented. Okay, you have prevented, all right, but there is no terrorism as such, you know. So there is not a single death after 9/11 in America. But the people are worked up about it. They are very insecure. Where is terrorism? Some terrorism is there in India. Recently in Varanasi there was another bomb blast. In India people are okay. They are doing fine. They are not worried about this terrorism. So, there is some terrorism. I am not denying that. But it is not as much as people get worked up. For example, in India, in 2009 statistics, you can go and verify. The number of people killed by terrorism, due to terrorism, is 1/4 of the number of people killed due to stampedes in temples. Temple stampedes, the devotees who are killed in Kumbh Mela, Haridwar, in Ayyappa temple, Shabarimalai, and then in Bihar one stampede happened. In Jagadguru Kurpalu ashram there was a stampede, 165 people died. And so, including the Bombay terrorist attack, which is the highest number of deaths happened, including that, the number of deaths because of terrorism is 1/4 of the deaths that happen very regularly due to stampedes in the temple because of lack of discipline among the devotees. Among the devotees. So, it is all you have to understand correctly. Therefore, so when you know, when you have peace in your heart, then you will see peace everywhere. When you are conflicted in the heart, then you see conflict everywhere. And good news won't come in the news channels. In the newspapers also, good news won't come. In fact, Dr. Abdul Kalam, our ex-president, he was complaining bitterly. He was bemoaning that Indian news, the journalism is entirely negative. They present only negative news. A positive news just doesn't appear in the newspaper at all. That is what he was complaining. And I was reading an essay written by him the other day. Therefore, if you want peace, you deserve peace. And you create peace in your heart, discover peace in your heart. Shantaha. You want to be a worldly entity, or a religious entity, or a spiritual entity? What is it that you want to be? You should not be a worldly entity. You should live in world, but you should not be a worldling. This is like Sri Ramakrishna used to say, the boat should be in water, but water should not be in the boat. So you should be in the world, but the world should not be in you. You cannot be anywhere except the world. As long as the body is alive, you will remain in the world. Wherever you are, that is the world. But the world should not be in you. So, you should not be a worldly entity. People ask the question, we are family people, what should we do? You should remain in the world, but in spite of being family people, you don't allow the worldliness to abide in you. You should not be worldly people. You should come out of it. Then a worldly entity has to become a religious entity. That is the religious entity. Salilai, Shuchibhir, Malye, etc. That Vaidhi Bhakti, that is the religious entity. And then we are now talking about the spiritual entity. Abhrutatma Munishyantaha Yatavak Mita Vanyabhuk. A spiritual entity. So the students of Vedanta, they should become spiritual entities. They should live as a spiritual entity. They should not live as a religious or a worldly entity or a mixture of both. That is not Vedanta. So people misunderstand it. So they are all informed wrongly. They inform themselves wrongly. If you have to put it in my language, I have to say people are nuts. That is all I can say. So if you claim that you are a student of Vedanta, then you are not a worldly entity, you are not a religious entity. You are a spiritual entity. You still live in the world. You still follow religion. But you are a spiritual entity. How is that? Abhrutatma munihi shantaha yatavak. You speak less. Not avak. Avak means doesn't speak. Yatavak. Speak less. You see, as you speak, your mind is working behind over time. It is like tape recorder. Tape recorder is bringing sound. But there is a tape which is going behind. And a magnet. And the tape is running. Magnetic field is operating. Then only noise is coming out. Similarly, when you are talking, the tape is running behind. The mind is working over time. And so you are talking and talking and talking. So when it is needed, you talk. When the purpose for talking is over, keep quiet. Don't talk anymore. Yatavak. You see, there are a few proverbs. Some noise is coming. What is that noise? So that the group of people are making secret consultations. Then how is it that so much noise is coming? Then another contest. Noise is coming. What is that noise? All those yoga people are attending classes, and in between classes they are there. That's why that noise is coming. Yoga people, so much noise. What is that? In a high school, when the headmaster is busy, children are noisy. In which way we are different? We are equally noisy, you know. So we should not talk. In fact, I would say don't talk. Keep quiet. I always say that. Don't talk. Keep quiet. So, but people find it very hard not to talk. So that means they are not at a spiritual entity. They are somewhere in the world and also in religious entity situation, not spiritual entity. Yata walk. Once you stop talking, become silent outwardly, and then become silent inwardly. In that silence, the mind shines with a receptivity and with an insight, with the light of wisdom. Only a silent mind shines with the light of wisdom. A noisy mind is a confused mind. So, yatavak. Then, metavanya bhuk. See, whether it is yoga or Vedanta, etc., Gita, this is the spirituality, you know. Here, the consumption of food is given a lot of importance. Very interestingly, not only in Vedanta we make a big issue of food, like yuktahara, viharasya, etc. Here also it is coming. Metta vanya bhuk. In modern medicine, if you go to a good doctor, you will find the doctor advising, eat properly and moderately. Two things. Eat properly and eat moderately. Two things. You go to any doctor, that is the advice they give. But suppose a doctor gives a strict advice about food, then the patient doesn't go to the doctor again. He will go to another doctor. And therefore, now the doctor has to become commercial. Therefore, he will say, you eat whatever you want to eat, but I will give you the pill, you go and take that pill. See, I was eating food in a bhandara. Bhandara means sadhu sit and eat. So having food, some nice food they serve. And then another sadhu is sitting beside me, he is serving laddu, these sweet balls. And so he put one laddu, I am eating it, one more. No, I said, okay, enough. Then my next sadhu, one laddu was put. And then he said, are one more you take, Swamiji? Swamiji, have one more. Then he said, you see, I am already a sweet person, this is enough for me. He is having diabetes. So, he is a very sweet person. Therefore, it is enough for me. Then that person told, Swamiji, you take one more tablet. That is what he told. Then Swamiji told, okay. So, he put another laddu. And then I asked him, Swamiji, what are you doing? Yeah, what to do? Take, let us, laddus are very sweet and very nice. Let me take one more tablet. Swamiji, that is complacency. The pill makes you complacent. Suppose you have some physical pain. You do exercise or you take pill? Which one you prefer? Pill. Pill is a dangerous thing. It is. Dangerous means when you need it, you have to take it. And this is called pill yuga, not Kali yuga, pill yuga. So when you need it, you take it. When you need it, you take it. But before taking, you have to assert time whether you really, really need it. Then only you should take. So this I am saying because sometimes I am amazed the way these advanced societies function. Especially when I look at the medical scene in America, I am very disturbed. My God, this is how it works. You know, there is a thing called preventive medicine. Means to prevent a disease, you take medicine. What is that? What is prevention? Prevention of what? prevention of taking medicine only. That is what it is. But then how did you get this contradiction called preventive medicine? Now my head started spinning when I read that youngsters, young age high school and college students are advised to take statins so that in future their cholesterol will not go up. Can you believe it? Oh my God. This is something. I shook my head and opened the eyes and again I was reading this New York Times. That is what it was saying. You can verify. So they are advising the high school and college students to take statin so that the cholesterol will not... This is called preventive medicine. How it is preventive medicine? And then one more statistic. One of the leading medical companies, one of the leading pharmaceutical company, it has billions of dollars of turnout. Out of that, its revenue is coming, 53% of revenue coming from preventive medicine and 47% from prescriptive medicine. So they are making more money in the name of preventive medicine. And so this article written by a scientist, he says, these people are making profits from prevention also. Now, earlier, medicine, they are making profits. Then some awareness campaign is started. You prevent. Then these people, what they did, you know, they have joined the bandwagon of prevention. And now they created drugs to prevent. And they are making more profit out of prevention than prescription. So the world is like that. You should not fall prey to all that. So you go to any good doctor and also any dietitian, they will tell you that you have to eat properly. You go to Gita, yoga, or go to any, not Yappi yoga center, but a good yoga center. Like Shivananda Yoga Vedanta centers are good yoga centers. They are devoted to yoga. That is in their culture. Shivananda, Swami Shivananda. We are all Shivananda's sishyas. Shivananda is the Paramaguru. Chinmayananda is Guru Shivananda. So we all belong to the parampara. That's why I am saying Shivananda. So Shivananda means yoga. Yoga, very strict yoga. And Shastriya. According to the Shastra. And so, the food is according to yoga. Yuktahara viharasya, Shri Krishna. Therefore, metta vanya bhuka. He says, metta vanya bhuka. Metta, eat moderately. Vanya means eats fruits, vegetables, and leafy vegetables. They are the vanya, means herbal. Coming from plants, eat a lot of salad. Eat lots of leafy vegetables made into some curry or whatever, and eat lots of vegetables, and carbohydrates should be very little. Less than what we generally take. It is not easy. Saying is easy. Doing is always difficult. But at least we should know what we are doing. Once unexpectedly, I attended a lecture on food by an Indian doctor, to a group of Indians in New Jersey. And this doctor, he started giving lecture with all scientific data and analysis. He says, you see, you are all Indians. You have Indian culture. And food is also part of the Indian culture. I respect all of that. But you don't be sentimental about it. It is not about Indian culture, Indian food. Our parents and our grandparents were eating the same food. It is not about that. It is not about all of that. It is about health and nutrition. I am not suggesting you to take non-veg. You continue to take vegetarian food. But you reassess the kind of food that you are eating. You are eating a wrong food. So he started describing the menu. And dosha, idli, rice, curry, sambar, every menu he took. And he started describing. After hearing 1 hour of his lecture, we were all stunned because he pointed out the defects that are there in that menu. And he said, you continue to keep the menu. You need not alter it, but you have to make adjustments so that it is healthy. Therefore, when it comes to food, the yoga people, the doctors and dietitians and nutrition scientists and Vedantins, they are all saying the same thing. They have the same thing to say. Very interesting, you know. Therefore, if you follow any one of them, or you follow all of them, you have to make changes the way we eat food. That is inevitable. Now we are talking of the spiritual entity, you know, the spiritual person, Dhruva. So, metta vanya bhuka. You have to eat moderately, and you have to have lots of plant products in the food. Means vegetables, leafy vegetables, leaves, and salad, etc. Then, evam kayena manasa vachasa cha. Yeah. Mano gatam paricharyamano bhagavan bhaktimat paricharyaya. So we started with kaya, means dravya mayim pujam, means with the materials you do the puja for the murti, etc. Then vachasa, om namo bhagavate vasudevaya, mantra japam vachasa. Then manasa, meditation. So at all levels, so kayena vachasa and manasa. Kayena vachasa is vaidhi bhakti, manasa is raga bhakti, the devotion which is in the form of love. It is now the importance is given for love. Raga is love for Ishvara, love for Ishvara. It is not about so many rituals and all that. Rituals may be there in their place, but it is all about love for Ishvara. Ishvara you should love. And so bhaktimat paricharyaya, even when you perform a ritual, the ritual must be strengthened by intense devotion to Ishvara. So in this context one may ask very genuine question, how to get that love for Ishvara? So this is one topic which I was looking into. And a devotee asked a Mahatma. The Mahatma said, you should have intense love for Ishvara. Now, you see, suppose you start asking for definitions of love and all that, it doesn't work. Love cannot be defined. Love can only be experienced. Even a small worldly things can be pointed out by words, but they cannot always be explained fully. So, suppose you ask, what is the meaning of the mother's love for the child? How are you going to explain it? But you can feel it, you can experience it. So, the Mahatma was telling, have love for God. This is the Raga Bhakti. Have love for God. Ishvara. Now, so how to have that, how to cultivate that love for Ishvara? How to cultivate? You see, there is no how you cultivate it. There is no how. You see, the Mahatma said more or less the same. You cultivate the love for Ishvara by sincerely loving Ishvara. So, how to sincerely love Ishvara? So, you can sincerely love Ishvara by practicing love for Ishvara. So, how to practice love for Ishvara? So you can practice love for Ishvara by assiduously cultivating love for Ishvara. So what is that? What is that? You tell, what is that? How to get it? You are not answering my question. This is what the devotee said because of his frustration. Then the Mahatma says, you see, you learn walking by walking. You learn swimming by swimming. The child learns talking by talking. You learn writing by writing. You love, you learn, cultivate love by loving. There is no other way. Therefore, too much of rationalization is not going to help. So, cultivate it. Love for Ishvara. I can give you a hint. You have so much love for the world. That is obvious. So, look at it. Look at that situation. Look at the love for world that is there in your heart. Look at it. And then cultivate some dispassion, vairagya. Means The love for the world is negated. That is what Vairagya is. Love for the world is negated. Suppose you declare, you don't give any gifts to me, I won't give any gifts to you. That is Vairagya. That makes life easy. Not only for you, for everybody else. Right? Don't include kids into that. Just I am saying about elders only. I won't say anything about kids. Even kids also should not be spoiled like that. Too many gifts and all that. Okay. Then, you don't call me for social visits and for parties. I won't call you for social visits and parties. Give up. So do a few things like that. You select and do a few things. Don't disturb anybody else. You do it for yourself. Give freedom for others, but you keep yourself in that path. So give up the love for the world. Don't worry about a new car. Continue to run the old car as long as it runs, it's okay. It is not about a new car, a luxury car. So, a person came to me. Swamiji, I am a student of Vedanta. God bless you. He then purchased a new car. And then, Swamiji, you should sit in the new car first. Why Swamiji should sit in the new car first? Swamiji is supposed to advise on dispassion, vairagya, not sitting in the new car first. That doesn't fit into the vairagya situation. Swami, you are supposed to be a spiritual entity and I am also should be a spiritual entity, so I give up my spiritual entity, I become a worldly entity and you become a worldly entity and both are together now. So, okay, chelo. I went and sat. Then the person told me, it's a luxury car. I told him, okay, what do you mean by luxury car? Cost is high, that is okay, that much I can understand. But within the car, what is it that is a luxury car? Swamiji, all the upholstery is leather. That is the luxury car. I told him, you are doing a mistake, you should not do that. You should not go for leather. Suppose you don't go for leather, or they may be some fiber, etc. Not leather. How much it will cost less? Some $10,000 it can cost less, or $5,000 it can cost less. And then I told one more thing. The leather is there, I am sitting there on it. Do you know this leather is the leather of the cow? The cow leather it is. Because in US and in Canada, it is all leather comes from cows. And so you say you are a Vedanta student, and I am supposed to be your teacher, and we are moving around in a luxury car with the cow leather upholstery and all that. What is this contradiction? It should not be like that. This is what I told him. And the person was very unhappy, I tell you. And then I became unhappy. Why should I say like that? Because after all, he is not causing any trouble to me. He is only trying to show me respect and I pay back in this way. So I felt sad myself for the entire situation. So be a spiritual entity. Don't be a worldly entity. So you need not drive a luxury car around. You drive some car around, that is all. That too in this country, not in India. In India you don't need a car even. You can always go by a bus or an auto or do something. Somebody else's car you can enjoy or whatever. Do something. So, a very, very unusual thing it is. So you should not be a worldly entity. You should not be a religious entity. You should be a spiritual entity. You have to convince yourself first about that. Then only there will be progress. Otherwise, we'll be talking about Vedanta books years together and nothing happens. So anyway, bhakti. So how to cultivate bhakti for Ishvara? We have so much bhakti, so much love towards the worldly things. You give up your love for shopping, do that, and then your love for Ishvara will grow leaps and bounds. Because the love is getting frittered in multiple directions, in the opposite directions. The love is being pushed into worldly direction. You stop it, then it will grow towards Ishvara. So don't be a worldly entity. automatically the vairagya, the dispassion will help you to discover love for Ishvara. So whatever you do, as long as you are doing the rituals must be supported by intense devotion. And then eventually you grow from vaidhi bhakti to raga bhakti. That is the sequence there. You may check it one more time. Pumsa mamayinam samyad bhajatam bhava vardhanaha shreyo dishatyabhimatam yad dharmadishu dehinam bhava vardhanaha. As you practice this love for Ishvara and move away from the worldliness, not from the world, from the worldliness. People have misunderstanding. They think that by going to Hrishikesh we will become more spiritual. It is not moving away from Toronto or New York to Hrishikesh. It is not horizontal movement. It is vertical movement. So you have to move away from the worldliness, not from the world. So bhava-vardhanaha samyad-bhajatam, as you pursue the bhakti and worship Ishvara wholeheartedly and live a life of devotion, then gradually you will grow into that intense devotion and that will take you to moksha. Shreyo dishatyabhimatam. It will take you to the moksha, which is very desirable for a human being. And dharmadishu dehinam. Dharma artha kama moksha. In all the four, moksha is the highest goal and one can reach that goal. So Narada is telling this to Dhruva. Now it is up to Dhruva what he wants. He can choose dharmadishu, dharma artha kama moksha. In that, whatever you wish, you can get by intense devotion to Ishvara. Viraktaschendriya ratau bhakti yogena bhuyasa tam nirantara bhavena bhajetadha vimuktaye. Now, suppose if it is only moksha that you want, vimuktaye. So Narada Maharshi is telling that also. Though Dhruva is not seeking that at this point of time, but Narada is telling that also. If that is what you want, moksha, then you should become dispassionate. Viraktaha indriya ratau. You see, this is how it is. I feel good. This feel good it is. Feel good factor. That is the rati. Rati means feeling good. So I feel good when I see something, when I hear something, when I smell or enjoy the fragrance of something, when I eat something, or when I touch something, sparsha. Touch means not like this. When I wear a certain kind of dress, I feel good. Dress is touch, you know. Suppose one of us says, when I wear a mink coat, men wear it, only women wear it, I think. Only women wear it, okay. So men must be having something corresponding to that. Some banana republic suit, etc. must not be good for the man. This banana republic, I was able to give it up. So because it somehow sounds very interesting. And wherever I go for a ball, I see this banana republic. And anyway, so for the women it is mink coat. What is mink coat? Very, very wrong thing to put on the shoulders, you know. You are not supposed to wear some such thing. It is not worthy of wearing. People in Alaska, etc., they cannot avoid it. They need the animal skin to keep alive. But here we don't need it. It is all for fashion only. So, and then, so this is the feel good. This is called indriya rati. Now, this is the slavery. Because we are now slaves to shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, and gandha. We are slaves. So shabda, rupa, rasa, gandha and sparsha should bless us, then only we can be happy. If they don't bless us, we are not happy. So this is the way we bind ourselves to the world. So suppose atmanya atmaratihi, Sri Krishna says in Gita, I feel good irrespective of shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. Whatever it they may be, I feel good. That means what? My feel good is not mortgaged to the outside world. We mortgage our happiness to the outside world. Now the outside world should bless, then only we can be happy. the outside world permission, gives permission, okay, I permit you. Now you go ahead and laugh. Then the person laughs and declares I'm happy. Then the outward world withdraws permission. Then he stops being happy. Now the outside world tells, okay, now you cry. So he starts crying. Now you become insecure. You become insecure. So this is the bondage. Now this bondage begins with indriyarati, means the devotion to the sense pleasures. And it ends with viraktaschendriyaratau. The bondage ends when you develop that dispassion towards the indriyarati. I am not interested in tasty food. I am interested in food. Not for the sake of enjoyment. Enjoyment could be there, but I am not seeking enjoyment. I am seeking nutrition and maintenance of the body. That is the right way to approach food. Everything else is the same. I am not a music enthusiast or a music connoisseur, etc. I am not starting societies to promote music and all that. I am not doing any of that. If I come across some nice music, there will be joy. And I am very happy about it. Whatever music it is. It's not that I am devoted to this music, that music. I love filmy music also. If it is enjoyable, if it falls on my ears, I love filmy music also. No problem. So, I am not interested in particularly devoted to any kind of music. In fact, I love some of the rock music and pop music also. I don't have anything against any music. And I don't have any particular love for any music. Music is incidental. Enjoyment of music is incidental. We are not seeking it. Same thing, we are not seeking enjoyment of food. Food enjoyment is incidental. Like that. Suppose somebody sprays some perfume. Then whether you seek it or not, the nose picks up the fragrance. Or flowers, fragrance comes. There is a sense of joy. You need not stop it. You need not close the mouth like that. That is not necessary for vairagya. Let it be there. But you are not seeking any fragrances and all that. You are not asking, you bring this flower, you bring that scent, you bring this fragrance. This is not. So that kind of dispassion, it is not about sannyasa or grahastha. That is secondary. That is incidental again. The point is not whether you are a sannyasi or a grahastha. The point is whether you have dispassion or not. If you have dispassion, you are a spiritual entity, though you are a grahastha. If you don't have dispassion, you are a worldly entity, though you are a sannyasi. Therefore, viraktaschendriyaratau. Then bhakti yogena bhuyasa. Then bhakti yoga. Now bhakti becomes yoga. Till now he did not say yoga. He said only bhakti. Because of dharmadishu, dharmartha kama, if that is what you are pursuing, that is not bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga, yoga means nishkama bhakti. You don't seek worldly accomplishments through bhakti. So, anashrita karma phalam, karyam karma karoti yaha. That is karma yoga. Mayasakta mana partha. Yogam yunjan madashrayaha. That is bhakti yoga. That is the first verse of 6th adhyaya, the first one. This is the first verse of the 7th adhyaya. Karma yoga and bhakti yoga. But these two vakyas, you remember, you now have everything in place. You worship Ishvara, that is madashrayaha, because you love Ishvara. Mayasakta mana. You worship Ishvara because you love Ishvara. I tell you, because it is Ishvara, you are able to do anything. Suppose this man tells his wife, I love you because your father is rich. You try it and see what happens. You say it and see. She will demand urgent apology, I tell you. Otherwise you will be in trouble. What you have to say, I love you. For your sake, whatever may be the situation, whatever may be financial situation of you, I love you for your sake. You have to say that. then only you can call it love. So I love you because you are also earning money well. We can share that money. You say that and see what happens. So that is love. You love whatever you love for the sake of loving that. That is called love. So when it comes to Ishvara, oh Ishvara, I love you, means I am devoted to you, please give me wealth, means now what is it that you love? You do not love Ishvara, you love wealth. Ishvara happens to be, is supposed to give wealth, therefore you love Ishvara. Suppose Ishvara says, Beta, means dear son, dear devotee, you be dispassionate, I will give moksha, I won't give you wealth. Then what will you do? Bhagavatam, people don't really see deeply, therefore they are comfortable. If they see deeply, then they will be in trouble. In Bhagavatam, Sri Krishna said, Yasyanugraham icchami, tasya vittam haramyaham. This is from Uddhava Gita or whatever, I don't know exactly where it is. Reference I cannot give you, but it is in Bhagavatam. Yasya anugraham icchami, tasya vittam haramyaham. I think it is Uddhava Gita, Ekadasha Skandha. Whom I want to bless, I want to shower my blessings upon a person, I take away his wealth. My God. Okay, Ishvara, you wait for a while. There is no urgency for your blessing, love. Well, we will come to it later. Really? Thank God people don't notice it and therefore they go ahead with it. If they notice it, it becomes devastating. Anyway, bhakti yoga means I love Ishvara because I love Ishvara. Why do you love me? I love you because I love you. You say that and see the light in the face of the other person. So Ishvara is also same. That is called bhakti yoga. If you don't put yoga yourself, bhakti, okay, go ahead. You love whatever you love. Worship Ishvara and hope for the best. But if you put the word yoga, that becomes nishkama bhakti. Bhakti yoga, yana bhuyasa. You should have it plentiful. Mancha, this is Gita. Yovya vicharena. I say Gita because Gita is the summum bonum of Vedanta. It is the encyclopedia of human existence, Gita. Everything. Gita is everything. And so, Sri Krishna says, Mancha yovya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. You see, when I say the verse, he is very happy. I know there are people who become happy when I say a verse from Gita. Gita is like that. Always quote Gita. This is our instruction from a Mahatma. Always quote a verse from Gita. Whatever topic you are discussing, quote a verse from Gita. Because there will be people who love Gita. Anyway, so bhakti yoga. So, brahma bhuyaya kalpate. That is the moksha. And nirantara bhavena. Bhava is bhakti, love. It is like the husband loves wife. Suppose wife is healthy, hale and healthy, I love you. Suppose she has some fever or some ill health. Now, okay, you are ill health, so I don't love you much. First you become healthy, then again I love you. That should not be like that. Wrong. Nirantara bhavena. She may be, it will be the other way also. Nirantara bhavena. Suppose the husband, he is in between jobs. You mean what does it mean? It means the last in job. This expression. I was amazed by this expression. See, we never know in India. In India we are poor, we say, oh, I lost my job. But in America they don't say like that. I am in between jobs. That is what it is. First I did not understand. What is that? So then I got it. So he is in between jobs. Then the wife says, I loved you and I am sure I will love you also, but first go and get a job. Then that is not love. So that is not love. సో లవ్ మీన్స్ జాబ్ ఆర్ నో జాబ్, హెల్త్ ఆర్ నో హెల్త్. దీస్ ఆల్ థింగ్స్ హ్యాపెన్ ఇన్ పీపుల్స్ లైఫ్స్. హెల్త్ అండ్ యూ హెల్త్ ఆల్సో కమ్స్, జాబ్స్ కమ్ అండ్ గో ఇన్ క్యాపిటలిస్టిక్ సొసైటీ. సో జాబ్స్ కమ్ అండ్ గో. సో లవ్ నిరంతర, నో బ్రేక్. సపోజ్ ది ఎకానమీ ఇస్ డౌన్, ఐ లవ్ గాడ్. ది ఎకానమీ ఇస్ అప్, ఐ లవ్ గాడ్. ఐఎమ్ హెల్దీ, ఐ లవ్ గాడ్. ఐఎమ్ సిక్, ఐ లవ్ గాడ్. హెల్దీ ఓం, సిక్ ఓం. ఓం ఇస్ నాట్ సే ఓం. ఓం హెల్దీ ఆర్ సిక్. సో నిరంతర భావేన, దట్ భక్తి భావ ఇస్ భక్తి విచ్ హ్యాస్ నో ఇంటరప్షన్స్. దట్ ఈస్ ది భక్తి యోగ. బికాస్ వాట్ ఆర్ ది ఇంటరప్షన్స్? వరల్డ్లీ థింగ్స్ ఓన్లీ. యు ఆర్ నాట్ కనెక్టెడ్ విత్ వరల్డ్లీ థింగ్స్ ఎనీమోర్. యు ఆర్ ఎ స్పిరిచువల్ ఎంటిటీ, యు నో. దెర్ఫోర్ దిస్ ఈజ్ హౌ యు హ్యావ్ టు వర్షిప్. దెన్ యూ విల్ గెయిన్ మోక్ష. హే ధ్రువ, ధ్రువ డి నాట్ ఆస్క్ ఫర్ ఇట్, బట్ నారద మహర్షి టోల్డ్ ఇట్. Dhruva will come back to it later. Now he is a Artharthi Bhakta, you know. Chaturvidha Bhajante Maam. So, Artho Jijnyasur Artharthi Jnani Chabhakarshadha. So, Artharthi Bhakti. Then he will become Jijnyasur Bhakti Bhakta. And then he becomes Jnani Bhakta. Ityuktastam parikramya pranamya chanrupardhakaha యయౌ మధువనం పుణ్యం హరేశ్చరణ చర్చితం. దిస్ ఈస్ ది అడ్వైస్ గివన్ బై నారద మహర్షి. అండ్ ధ్రువ హీ సర్కమ్ అంబ్యులేటెడ్, దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ దిస్ సర్కమ్ అంబ్యులేటెడ్ మీన్స్ ప్రదక్షిణం. గో రౌండ్, సో క్లాక్ వైజ్ డైరెక్షన్, గో రౌండ్. సో వన్స్ ట్వైస్ థ్రైస్ ఆర్ ఈవెన్ వన్స్, వాట్ ఎవర్. సో దిస్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ పరిక్రమణం. That is a way of praying and showing the devotion and love. So having done that, the boy, he went his way to Vrindavana, to Madhuvana. Haresh Charana Charchitam. It is an interesting word. So in that place, Srihari, as Shri Krishna, moved around without any shoes or chappals. Without charana charchitam, you know, because he was walking barefoot. That is how, in those days it was like that. They walk barefoot. So, nowadays they don't walk barefoot. At one time in India, they walk barefoot. They used to walk barefoot. I know myself. So, he was walking barefoot. Even now, when people go to Vrindavan, they get down in Mathura station, and throw the chappals there. They walk barefoot. All Vrindavan, etc., they walk barefoot even now. The devotees are like that. Because this is where Sri Krishna walked barefoot. So why should I walk with the shoes and all that? If you go to Mathura station, you will find these junk of shoes lying there. All kinds of shoes and the chappals will be lying there. Because people leave them in the railway station and go and have darshan of Vrindavan, go around and all that, and then come back and purchase another pair or whatever. This is how they do. So the idea is that description is there. Haresh Charana Charchitam. It was marked by the footprints of Sri Hari as the Sri Krishna. That is the place. And so he went there. In those days it was a jungle. Now also it's a jungle, but a jungle of concrete and steel now. At one time it is a jungle of trees and plants and bushes. Tapovanangate tasmin pravishtontah puram munihi arihitarhanako rajnya sukhasina uvachatam. So one more small job is left for Narada Maharshi, to console the parent of this boy, the parents of this boy. So he went to the king Uttanapada, his palace he went. And so the king received him with all reverence and offered him a seat. And so he sat there. Now the Narada Maharshi is addressing the king. Rajan kim dhyayase deergham mukhena parishushyata కిం వా నరిష్యతే కామః ధర్మో వార్థేన సంయుతః. హే మహారాజా, నారద ఇస్ ఆస్కింగ్, వై యువర్ ఫేస్ ఈజ్ హ్యాస్ విథర్డ్ అవే, ఫేస్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో బ్లడ్ ఇన్ ది ఫేస్, దట్ ఈస్ హౌ దే సే, ఇట్స్ అన్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్. సో ది ఫేస్ హ్యాస్ విథర్డ్ అవే అండ్ యూ ఆర్ ఆల్సో ఇన్హేలింగ్ అండ్ ఎక్సేలింగ్ లాంగ్ ఇన్ ఎ లాంగ్ వే, మీన్స్ ద బ్రీదింగ్ ఈజ్ వెరీ ల్యాబర్డ్ బ్రీదింగ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ గ్రీఫ్. సో వాట్ హ్యాపన్ టు యూ? సో ఇన్ ది హ్యూమన్ పర్సూట్ దేర్ ఇస్ ధర్మార్థ కామ, ఆల్ ది త్రీ ఆర్ మెన్షన్డ్, ధర్మార్థ కామ, మోక్ష ఇస్ ద డిఫరెన్స్. సో ధర్మార్థ కామ, అర్థ కామ, వరల్డ్లీ ఎంటిటీ, అర్థ కామ విత్ ధర్మ, రిలీజియస్ ఎంటిటీ, ద త్రీ ఆర్ లెఫ్ట్ బిహైండ్ అండ్ యూ సీక్ మోక్ష, దట్ ఈస్ స్పిరిచువల్ ఎంటిటీ, దట్ ఈస్ ది కేటగిరీ, ద ప్రోగ్రెషన్. సో హే మహారాజా ఈజ్ నాట్ ఎ స్పిరిచువల్ ఎంటిటీ, ఈజ్ వరల్డ్లీ అండ్ రిలీజియస్ ఎంటిటీ. సో ఈజ్ ఆస్కింగ్, ఈజ్ యువర్ వెల్త్ సిచ్యువేషన్, ద ట్రెషరీ ఎట్సెట్రా డూయింగ్ వెల్, ఆల్ యువర్ హెల్త్ అండ్ అదర్ భోగాస్ ఎట్సెట్రా ఎవ్రీథింగ్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ వెల్, అండ్ ధర్మ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో గోయింగ్ ఆన్ వెల్, వాట్ ఈస్ ది ప్రాబ్లమ్? ఇన్ విచ్ ఏరియా యూ ఆర్ ల్యాకింగ్? వై ఆర్ యూ సో అన్హ్యాపీ? దట్ ఈజ్ వాట్ ఈజ్ ఆస్కింగ్. రాజోవాచ సుతో మే బాలకో బ్రహ్మన్ స్త్రైణే నా కరుణాత్మన నిర్వాసిత పంచవర్ష సహ మాత్రా మహాన్ కవి. హే మహర్షే, వాట్ కెన్ ఐ సే? ఐ మేడ్ ఎ హ్యూజ్ మిస్టేక్, దట్ ఈజ్ హ్యావింగ్ గాట్ మ్యారీడ్ వన్ టైమ్ అండ్ ఆల్సో గాట్ ఎ చైల్డ్, ఐ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ కెప్ట్ క్వైట్ అండ్ గాట్ మ్యారీడ్ అగైన్. స్త్రైణ, యూ షుడ్ నాట్ డూ దాట్. So people are in a big hurry, you know, so I made a mistake there. And then okay, having done that, at least I should show love equally on all on both of them. And so I made another mistake, one mistake compounded by one more mistake compounded by one more mistake, like that. Sometimes it happens this way, people compound mistake after mistake, mistake with another mistake, and then land in a soup, a load of trouble, and then run to temple. Oh, Venkateshwara Swami, do something now. What Venkateshwara Swami will do? He has to do something now. Or go to a Mahatma. This Mahatma has to dispense some magic and do something about it. Are you created trouble, you know, you put the nuts into the wine, you take them out. This is my expression. The one who puts the nuts into the fire should take the nuts out of the fire. Why should somebody else take it? Because taking the nuts out of fire means the fingers will be burnt, you know. So you put them in the fire, you take them out. I won't take it for you. So running for the Mahatma. Hey Mahatmaji, the nuts are getting burnt. Please take them out of the fire. Who put the nuts in the fire? I put the nuts in. So people run after the Mahatmas. Mahatmas have to dispense some magic. It doesn't work like that. Anyway, so I was very cruel in my approach towards that young boy. The young boy is very great. He is a jnani, kavihi. I understand that he went somewhere for doing penance, austerities. And his age is 5, panchavarsha, 5. You see, I told you Purana is Atishayokti Pradhana, that you have to keep in mind. So, just enjoy the story. Don't ask how a 5-year-old boy can go to the forest. Don't ask all that. Just enjoy the story. He's a very young boy, Tyartha. Panchavarshaha. Then, Apyanatham Vane Brahman, Masmadantyarbhakam Rukaha, Shrantam Shayanam Kshudhitam, పరిమ్లాన ముఖాంబుజం. ఇమాజినేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఎన్ అటాచ్డ్ పేరెంట్, ఇట్ విల్ బి లైక్ దిస్ వన్. హీ సీస్ సీన్స్, వాట్ మై సన్ 5-year-old వాకింగ్ ఇన్ ది ఫారెస్ట్, నౌ నో ఫుడ్, దెర్ ఈజ్ నో ఫుడ్, సో టిల్ ఈవినింగ్ హీ వాజ్ వాకింగ్, నో ఫుడ్, అండ్ నౌ హీ కెనాట్ వాక్ ఎనీ మోర్, దెర్ఫోర్ హీ వాజ్ లయింగ్ ఎగ్జాస్టెడ్, హీ ఫెల్ ఆన్ ది గ్రౌండ్ and his face is all withered away. And then suddenly a bunch of wolves have surrounded him and so they were all going around him. And any moment, one of the wolves will take courage and jump upon him. Then the whole herd will jump upon him and will kill him. Ayyayo. That is the verse. That is what the verse, everything I described. It is there. You can verify. So this is the attached parent. When the boy is around, he did not show love. And he ill-treated the boy. And ill-treated the mother also. But when he is not around, then he is crying for him. This is the attached parent. One should not be attached parent. Okay, he went for tapas. Okay, let him do. He will come out of the ordeal with courage and determination. He will grow better than anybody else. He is given an opportunity to face the difficulty of life. That will make him very hardened and all that. So, okay, let him face the test of life. So, you should keep quiet and hope for his hope for the best and pray to God that everything will be okay for him. That is all we can do. So, but then he is the attached parent and so bitterly crying. This is how he was crying. Aho me bata dauratyam strijata syopadharaya yonkam premnaru rukshantam nabhyanandam asaptamah. Again, I am a very cruel father. When the boy was around, I did not embrace him, I did not take him to my lap. He was trying to come into my lap, but I have thrown him away. I was very cruel. I don't deserve any mercy by God. That is what he is saying. So, viprah paschima buddhayaha, like that there is a saying. That means you become wiser after the event. And the event is, when the occasion is on, the wisdom is not there. Only anger, frustration and other negativity comes out. But when everything is gone by, slipped out of hands, now become very wise and then repent. Okay, repentance is good, but that is not going to help in any way. Anyway, this is the king. Narada Uvacha. Mama Shuchasvatanayam Deva Guptam Vishampate Tatprabhavam Avijnaya Pravrunte Yadyasho Jagat. He Maharaja. So Narada Maharshi knew this king will be like this. He knew it even before coming here. And his expectation was 100% correct. And so he came here to console the king, to remove all his fears so that he can rest. Comforted. Otherwise he may commit suicide also. Therefore, he told him, Maharaja, you worry about him. You know why? Wonderful verse. Deva Guptam. Swatanayam Deva Guptam. You see, this boy went to the school in India. The boy went to the school and the boy will come at 3 o'clock. And he goes to the school in morning 8 and comes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The mother is worried. What is the worry? The boy has to cross the road in India. Crossing the road is not easy. Nobody will stop vehicle and all that just because you are crossing the road. Suppose you say, if I am crossing, okay, cross the road, what a big deal. So what do you want me to do? Just because you are crossing the road, should I stop it? This is not Canada, you know. In Canada they stop like that. Not in India. Nobody will stop. So, suppose you are crossing the road. A vehicle goes before you with a lot of speed and you stop there. If you stop there, you should stop. You should not take a step back. If you take a step back, you will collide with a vehicle. Somebody else is going from behind with similar speed. You stay frozen there. Then look back. Now you know that there are vehicles behind, vehicles in the front. And so the mother is worried. This poor child, 7-year-old or 8-year-old boy, he has to cross the road, then catch a bus, get down the bus and cross the road and enter the school. But this thing is being done not by 10 or 100, thousands of students do it in Hyderabad every day. And this lady is worried. And she was crying with me. I told her, Ma, you don't save the boy. God saves the boy. not only the boy, you also, me also, we are all protected by Ishvara. We are not protecting ourselves. You think that you are protecting yourself. And you feel that you are protected because you remain inside the house. And you worry the boy is no protection because he is on the road. Thousands of students are going to the school and coming. They are protected, very well protected. By whom? By Ishvara. In America, there is a psychology. In America, I don't know how it works in Canada. In America, the psychology is the citizens are protected by government. Government protects the citizens. That is the impression. The citizens expect we have to be protected. The government has to protect us. That is the expectation. In India, we don't expect government. We don't know where is that. That animal called government, where is that animal? We don't know. Maybe it is there, maybe in parliament it is there, or somewhere it must be there. We are not concerned with it and they are not concerned with us. And we don't need their protection. Let them protect themselves. Because we are protected by Ishvara. This is India. And that is the truth also. It works well for us. Deva Guptam. So, oh Maharaja, you thought you protected him while he is in Antapura. Even in Gynesium, even when he is sitting in mother's lap, Ishvara alone is protecting him. Sarakshita rakshati yohi garbhe. This is from Bhagavatam only. So, yaha garbhe rakshati saha rakshita. While the child is in mother's womb, who protects the child? Mother? No. Mother cannot protect. She herself needs protection. Because a pregnant woman needs protection. She cannot protect herself. Where is the question of protecting the child? So Bhagavan was protecting while the child is in the womb. Now the child is in the world. Then who will protect? Same Bhagavan. Saha yohi garbhe rakshati. Saha rakshita. He will protect after birth also. Deva guptam. The child is in the forest. True. There is no food available in the forest ready-made like in the Antapuram. That is also true. There are wolves and tigers in the forest. That is also true. Yet the boy is protected by Ishvara very well. That is the truth that you have to understand. People are worried and they are insecure about their children. I have a feeling that that kind of worry is misplaced. You don't worry about your children. You worry about yourself because you are making a mistake that you are protecting the boy or daughter. Ishvara is protecting everybody. All are protected by Ishvara. And so, you stop worrying about the welfare of others. In fact, you may stop worrying about your welfare also. This is the hallmark of an enlightened soul, that he is altogether unconcerned about the future. That is the characteristic of a jnani. He is altogether unconcerned, unworried about the future. Therefore, Hemaha, that's a good verse. That's why I pointed it out to you. So, you don't know the glory of Ishvara. Ishvara is protecting the boy. You don't know the glory of the boy also, because he is going to accomplish many great things. And your name will be known in the world because of that boy. Uttanapada will be known as Dhruva's father. Like Dasharatha is known because of Rama. How many people know who is the father of Dasharatha? How many people know? You ask a general knowledge question. Who is the father of Dasharatha? Many people don't know. Whereas, who is the father of Rama? Oh, everybody knows. Dasharatha's father is Aja Maharaja. So many people don't know that. Whereas Rama's father is well known. Similarly, Dhruva's father, Uttanapada. Sudushkaram karma krutva lokapalai rapaprabhuhu ఏష్యత్యచిరతో రాజన్ యశో విపులయంస్తవ. హీ డజన్ వాంట్ ద కింగ్ టు బి అన్హ్యాపీ అండ్ సఫరింగ్ అండ్ ఆల్ దాట్. సో అవుట్ ఆఫ్ కంపాషన్ హీ ఈస్ అడ్వైజింగ్ ద కింగ్, హే మహారాజా, డోంట్ యు వరీ, యువర్ సన్ విల్ కమ్ బ్యాక్ సేఫ్. నాట్ ఓన్లీ దాట్, హీ విల్ అకాంప్లిష్ ద గ్రేటెస్ట్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ లైఫ్, అండ్ దెన్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ హిమ్ యువర్ నేమ్ విల్ బి నోన్ ఆల్ ఓవర్ ది వరల్డ్. మైత్రేయోవాచ ఇతి దేవర్షిణా ప్రోక్తం విశ్రుత్య జగతీపతి రాజలక్ష్మీ మనాదృత్య పిత్రమేవాన్వచింతయత్. ద కింగ్ వాజ్ హ్యాపీ టు హియర్ దిస్ మచ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది గ్రేట్ సేజ్, ద సెలెస్టియల్ సేజ్ నారద మహర్షి. మహర్షి వెంట్ హిస్ డే, బట్ ద కింగ్, బికాస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ వరీ, అన్హ్యాపీనెస్, రిగ్రెట్, గిల్ట్, ఆల్ దోస్ క్వాలిటీ, బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దోస్ ఇమోషన్స్, హీ కుడ్ నాట్ పే ప్రాపర్ అటెన్షన్ to the governance of the country. That is his duty. He could not do it properly. That is what it is said.
Tatra abhishikta prayatas tamuposhya vibhavarim samahita pariyacharat rishyadeshena purusham.
Okay, that is about the king. Now go back to Dhruva. He went to Vrindavana. He took bath. He reached by evening. Evening straight away he started. Why to lose the time? So first thing is take bath in the Kalindi, Yamuna, the river Yamuna. He took the bath. And that night he kept fast. He did not take any food. Because having eaten all the food, then you go and do puja, that may not be the right thing to do. This is what is called convenient bhakti. That is how it is called. So have breakfast. So when shall we start puja? Let us start at 6. No, 6 is very inconvenient. Okay, maybe 7. 7 is also inconvenient. Why? Because that is the breakfast time. Okay, you do like this. You start at 9. And how many hours of puja? 5 hours. No. 5 hours is too much. Make it 2 hours. Okay, between 9 and 11. So that the breakfast is not disturbed. And lunch also is quite well. With all prasadas and all that. This is what is called convenient bhakti. That's why by the time the bhakti is done more and more, the people become more and more fat. Because in the name of bhakti, they are consumed with all kinds of items. So they will have some nice breakfast. 4 items. So idli, dosha and vada, and a sweet. 4 items. And then coffee. So nice breakfast, complete breakfast you have. You can skip meal for 2 more days, that much breakfast you can have. And then come at 9. Now puja. Now this puja is to be done. See, Sahasranama, 1000 puja. So share between the wife and husband and 2 children. So that one person can sit like this and do puja 4 hours. So difficult for Sahasranama share. So for some time the husband will do. And now his legs are becoming numb. Okay, he looks for her. She, what is it? Come. Okay, she comes and sits. This person gets up and goes for a cup of tea. And then the wife does. And she has some urgent works elsewhere. So the boy does. So the boy, he doesn't know what is this puja. So push him. Come on, you have to learn this. Come and sit. So what about me? We learn later. The boys should learn. This is another problem. Boys and girls should learn. What about you? I have learned enough already. So push the boy. Now the boy will do puja for some time. And then the girl will puja for some time. Ah, Maya, at last the 1000 names are over. And then, now 15 minutes gap. Because so much tired, you know. So then, get up, go up and down. And have a cup of tea or chocolate, hot chocolate. And then come for Harati. And then, oh Harati. Then Mahanaivedyam. Wonderful puja. Now it is time for lunch. Very heavy lunch. With all prasadas and all that. Kya hai bhai? What is that? No. If you want to do puja, you keep fast. Skip breakfast. Don't eat anything. And when you want to do meditation, even the night time food you should eat light. If you eat heavy food in the night, that too late in the night, delay it night at 9 and then have heavy food అండ్ ఆయిలీ ఫుడ్ ఎట్సెట్రా. నెక్స్ట్ డే మార్నింగ్ యూ సీక్ ఫర్ మెడిటేషన్ అండ్ సో యూ సీక్ లైక్ దిస్. నౌ యూ షుడ్ నాట్ మూవ్ వట్ యూ ఫీల్ లైక్ మూవింగ్, అండ్ ఆల్సో యూ షుడ్ రిమైన్ క్వైట్. బట్ దెన్ సో మెనీ సౌండ్స్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ హియర్, ఏ కఫ్ విల్ కమ్. సో మచ్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ హియర్. దిస్ ఆపరేటర్స్, ది బ్రీదింగ్ ఆపరేటర్స్ టుగెదర్ విత్ ది టమ్మీ, ఇట్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఇన్ గుడ్ షేప్. ఇట్ ఈజ్ నాట్ సపుల్, ఇట్ హాజ్ బికమ్ వెరీ థిక్. అండ్ ద బ్రీదింగ్ ఆపరేటర్స్ లంగ్స్ ఎట్సెట్రా, దే హ్యావ్ బీన్ వెరీ కన్స్ట్రిక్టెడ్, వాట్ ఎవర్ ఐ డోంట్ నో ది మెడికల్ టర్మ్ ఫర్ ఇట్. ద పర్సన్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఎంటైర్లీ కంఫర్టబుల్. He knows, you will know when you sit for meditation. When you don't sit for meditation, move around this, do that, and then have breakfast, then again do this, do that. You will not know what is going on here. Then the doctor has to tell you what is going on here. Whereas when you sit for meditation, now you know what is going on. Yesterday I had that oily dosha and all that, so now I know what is going on here. I can see that. I can feel all that. So, therefore, so keep fast, upavasam. He is talking about upavasam. So, the devotees, that is a discipline, keeping fast. Not on a regular basis. That should be done in a moderate way. That should not be stretched too far. And then the stomach becomes... it doesn't get any food at all. It should not be like that. It should be very moderate, balanced. Therefore, on Ekadashi day, keep fast. And take some little food. No food. Drink water, plenty of water. And keep quiet. That is okay. Chandogya Upanishad tells, one can live reasonably comfortably for 15 days without food. As far as he is drinking water. It is what Chandogya Upanishad says. Sixth Adhyaya, in Tattvamasi Prakaranam itself. Oh, I have crossed with the time. Now I will conclude. Recently in France, one lady was locked inside the bathroom for 20 days. Old lady. She got only the hot water, the bathroom water for drinking. That is all she got. But she remained more or less, she continued to live, and she was okay after 20 days. So water is very precious. So skip food occasionally on Ekadashi day, etc. Especially when you do puja, etc., skip food. So don't make it convenient bhakti, bring some discipline into it, and voluntarily embrace some hardship within reasonable limits. So skipping breakfast is not certainly very comfortable, but voluntarily we embrace it. That becomes tapas. So Dhruva's tapas began in a small measure, and then it expands to a huge thing. So we'll see tomorrow. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamidachyate Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Guru Jo Namaha Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.